Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this time, this hour to come together in this final message to these, your people, to this branch of Zion. Father, we pray that it is not the final message for this, your servant, but just a final message, Father, to these, your people, as we transfer, Father, the con from one leader to another. Father, we pray right now that you would just bless our time together, enrich us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, we want to share a message that we hope will help you to assess your life and affirm your commitment to the continued work of this ministry. Our theme text this morning comes from that 21st verse of Ephesians 3, which says, Unto him be all glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. No doubt you have heard about the old circuit riding preacher who sold his horse. And when a prospective buyer came to look at the horse, the preacher explained that this horse was not like most horses. It did not respond to the normal commands of whoa and giddy up and gee and haw and similar verbal commands. It wouldn't pay attention to those kinds of regular orders. He explained to stop the horse, the rider simply needed to say, amen. A full gallop would follow a hearty praise the Lord. A right turn would follow hallelujah. And glory, glory meant a left turn. So before the buyer took the horse out, the old preacher, he reviewed the commands to make sure that the man had them down and had them mastered. And so the man took the horse out on a dusty road, and he took a sharp hallelujah into an open field. And he put the horse through its paces, and he gave the appropriate command of praise the Lord, and the horse took off in a full gallop. And as the ground became rougher and rougher, the rider decided that he had had enough. And he pulled on the reins and instinctively yelled, whoa! Nothing happened. And he tugged harder, and he tugged harder, and still nothing. By now, he was hanging on for dear life as this horse bounded down a gully and up the other side and jumped over a tree and went through some thick brush. And he looked up, and the horse was heading straight for the edge of a cliff. It would be certain death for the rider and for the horse. And he yelled, and he tugged, and he screamed, but nothing happened. And finally, fearing for his life, he prayed, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Amen. And no sooner that he had uttered the last word, the horse came to a screeching halt, just 6 inches from the edge of the cliff. And shaken but relieved, he wiped his brow and he leaned back in the saddle and he let out a grateful and hearty praise the Lord. Some of us infrequently utter praise the Lord, hallelujah, or glory. But I suspect that we all say amen on a regular basis. We often use biblical terms with little thought as to their meaning. However, this little word, amen, which occurs 72 times in the Bible, 22 times in the Old Testament and 50 times in the New Testament, has significant meaning more than you really know. So this morning we want to look at its biblical use, first of all. In Scripture, the word amen comes from both the Greek and the Hebrew, and it is transliterated. That means there is no word in our English language that absolutely interprets it, so we use their word instead, which is amen. The use of this word began in the Old Testament, and it means to confirm or to make firm. It's frequently used in the Old Testament as a group response in worship. Moses reviewed the commands of God, and in Deuteronomy 27, at the giving of the law, he asked the people to pledge their loyalty to God's covenant, after which we read the response was, "Then all the people shall say, amen." Amen. And we find that that occurs no less than 12 times. Amen also conveys firmness and certainty. 1 Chronicles 16:38 contains David's song of thanksgiving when the Ark of the Covenant was finally brought to Jerusalem. His song ends with, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever." And all the people said,
"Amen,"
and praised the Lord. Amen carries the weight of approval and support, acknowledgement and affirmation. In Jeremiah 28:6, Jeremiah responds to the prophecy of the restoration of Israel and the return of the Israelites from Babylon. And he said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon." In the New Testament, amen is used in a variety of different ways. Amen was apparently used in Christian gatherings to signal agreement or approval. In 1 Corinthians 14:16, it appears that the audible shouts of amen were common among early Christians. Paul writes, he says, "Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who accompanies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say?" In many contexts, it means "that's right," or "I agree," or in a sense, "Lord, bless that word," or "use that word." Amen. It's also used to in prayers and doxologies, just as the one before us here in Ephesians 3:20 and 21. After the end of a prayer or after prayer, amen signals the end of the prayer, but it also serves as a final sort of appeal to the Lord of like saying, "This is it. I really mean this. I mean this." Amen can also be used in normal conversation to signal the importance of something or to the truth of something. Sometimes amen is used at the beginning of a sentence, and in such cases, it's translated "verily, verily" as double for emphasis, as when Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." The word he's using there is amen, amen. Paul says that the promises of God are amen, meaning that they are reliable. Amen is often the last word that Paul uses in his letters, his way of saying that everything that he has declared is true. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 12, the word amen is at the beginning and the end of the praise of angels. The sacred word is used to frame their worship. The angels declare amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen is also used as a divine title for God. It is part of his name. In the book of Revelation, John states that Jesus is the Amen, the faithful witness, and the beginning of God's creation. When used to describe God, Amen means trustworthy. Jesus is the Father's Amen to all he has spoken. He is God's yes to the promises of Scripture. In both the Old and New Testaments, Amen reveals that God is our support, our foundation, the very one who makes everything firm. He's the one who builds us up. All of that is expressed in the tiny word, Amen. Let all God's people say.
Amen.
Let all God's people say.
Amen.
Let all God's people say.
Amen.
Amen. Well, how do we use Amen? When I was in Alabama one time, I observed my brother-in-law as he was talking on the phone. And whoever he was talking to, he kept saying, "True that. True that." And I thought it a bit odd at first. I'm kind of an old school kind of guy. But as I continued to listen, I understand that what he was saying was simply, "That's true." Or, I know you're right. Or, "I hear you screaming." Or, "Okay." There are many ways that we affirm something to be true. In the movie Biker Boys, Derek Luke declares that Lawrence Fishburne is his daddy. And Fishburne responds, "True that." In the Army, the word "hoorah" is used to express enthusiastic agreement. At a formation, the commander will address the troops with their unit motto, maybe saying, "Charlie Company is fit to fight." And the soldiers would shout back, "Hoorah!" In high society, the word is "bravo," or possibly in more polite environments, a clapping of the hands. In the courtroom, it's affirmed by saying, "So help me God." In our conversations, we might say, "You show enough right." There are many ways that we affirm something to be true. However, in the spiritual realm, we affirm truth, generally by just saying Amen. We use Amen in a number of different ways. The term Amen is often used kind of like a punctuation mark. It marks the end of a prayer. It marks the end of a song. And it's like a declaration that marks the end of a sentence. However, it's far more meaningful than a period or a stop or a signing off word by which a prayer or song or declaration is terminated. It carries the weight of approval and confirmation and support to what is said or what is sung. And when a choir sung that song, we said Amen. It's customary in Bible times to respond to good news with Amen. We still do that kind of thing today. I might announce to you that I'm not going to preach very long. And you might say,
"Amen."
Amen. For a more biblical example, when David chose Solomon to succeed him as king of Israel, the nation cried out, "Amen." Amen is a glad word. Amen is an affirming word. We hear some preachers, and when they're preaching, they will say to the congregation, "Can I get an amen?" Wanting to know that, make sure that people are listening, that they're paying attention. Amen is a statement of confidence in God. When we hear the word of God and when we can agree with it, we can say amen with the assurance that God's word will not change. When we say amen to one another, we're pledging our loyalty. We're saying that we will be there in time of need. When we speak an amen in a church gathering, we're demonstrating that we believe that God, that this thing of being a Christian is more than just a spectator event. We may be only listening at the moment, but we are nonetheless involved. When we say amen to one another, we're speaking an appreciation to the ministry of another. We're acknowledging a person's faithfulness and God's faithfulness through them and declaring our faithfulness in our ministry to support and to give our best. However, we most often associate amen with prayer. Throughout Scripture, it's the appropriate way, seemingly, to end a prayer. It's like we're saying, so let it be. Or simply, just to say, yes. When we pray, we can conclude with a firm amen because we are confident that our prayer will be heard, that our God is at work, and the best response to our petition is already in the making. How we use this word in church depends upon our worship style and our worship tradition. Some people feel awkward in saying amen in church. Some people feel awkward. Some people feel awkward if amen is not said in the church. But we need to recognize that this thing of being in worship is not a private experience, but it's a public experience. And we need to manifest our approval and manifest our praise. We're about to enter football season, and when the Broncos come to play, we are going to get all lathered up, just rooting for our team. We're going to shout for our team till we get hoarse in our voice. But yet we will come into the church all prim and proper and not even say amen. There's nothing wrong with expressing our enthusiasm for God such that others can hear it. Finally, to say amen is to give an endorsement to the decrees and acts of God. We could even translate amen as yes. By saying amen, we're stating that God's decrees are established and sure. We concur that what God is saying to us is amen. Yes, it's true. And we affirm what he's doing in our lives and in the world. Let all God's people say.
Amen.
Let all God's people say.
Amen.
Let all God's people say. Well, our hope is in the amen. Whether it's in politics or business or ministry, there have always been some crooked people. Always been. And unfortunately, we do see that in the church. And the crookedness damages our willingness to trust. We hear hundreds of promises every day, which by almost a knee-jerk reaction, we refuse to believe. Promises like, I'm not trying to sell you anything. And then they begin to sell you something. Promises like, I often get in my office where they call and say, I just need a minute of your time. And then spend a minute telling me that they don't need but a minute of my time. There are those who promise, says, this won't hurt a bit. There's no risk, there's no obligation. Some of our politicians would say, well, if I'm elected, I will. We have become conditioned to disbelieve, and for good reason. We have become fed up. We become skeptical with some of these promises because broken promises wound our spirit. They leave us a little wiser. They leave us a little less trusting. They may even break us inside. And we ask ourselves today, is anyone trustworthy? When we look at our government, we ask ourselves, anyone trustworthy? Do they hold to promises? Do they hold to truth? Is there anyone who keeps his or her word? As soon as we ask that question, we realize that faith is only as good as its object. Paul declares in Ephesians 3:20, he says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ask or think, according to the power that works in us." We must ask ourselves, do we really believe that promise? That he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? A pastor visited an old man who was confined to his chair because of rheumatism. And he had his Bible open in front of him. And next to every promise that he had come across that had been fulfilled in his life, he wrote next to it, "Proved." Proved. God keeps his promises, and he has fulfilled every one of them in Christ Jesus. People, in spite of their best intentions, will fail us, but God never will. Jesus is described in Scripture as the promised one, the Messiah. He is God's great yes to the world. The Apostle Paul writes in Revelation 3:14 to the church at Laodicea, it says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." You see, Jesus is truth. What he says has the right to begin with Amen, because he is the Amen. This title belongs to him, and it refers to the truth in him. The world is full of yeses that get turned into no's, and many of us have been disappointed, and we've been heartbroken so many times that we fear putting our trust in anyone or anything. But Paul reassures us that even if humans may fail you and let you down at some point, they indeed will say yes, but they really mean no. But in 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul declares, it says, "For all the promises of God in him," that is in Christ, "are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ. God's promises are not yes and then turned into no's. The promises of God are yes, and they are amen. Yes, the world is full of things may cause us to doubt. But when we look at Jesus, our real reason for doubting should disappear. Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer, our Helper, our Friend. He's God's great yes to us. He is not only God in us, God with us, but he is God for us. And we can trust him. Amen. We can trust God with our careers. We can trust God with our finances. We can trust God with our marriages. We can trust God with our children. We can trust God with our health. And this church can trust itself unto God. Amen. We can trust that what God has done over these 29 years, that he will continue to do. We can trust that as our new pastor comes in, that God has heard our prayer, and that this man is coming in the fullness and the power of the Spirit, and that he is the answer to our prayer. We can trust God in that. Whatever God promises, they are his yes. Let all God's people say.
Amen.
Let all God's people say.
Amen.
Let all God's people say.
Amen.
This world is filled with uncertainty, and I close with this. We need something that's around us when it seems like everything's caving in, when it seems like all of our moral values are being degraded, when it seems that we cannot have confidence in our elected officials, when it seems like the world is going to hell in a handbasket. all that we can truly count on is God. Amen is an attribute of God. He has been faithful to us, and he will continue to be with us. He is totally dependable. His truth establishes us, and his counsel supports us when all else fails. I come to tell you today that God is looking for someone who will say yes to his will and yes to his way. God is looking for someone to say yes and amen to him. God is looking for a yes man and a yes woman. God is looking for someone who says, yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll say it. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I can handle it. Yes, I can make it happen. God's looking for a yes man and a yes woman. He's looking for an amen man and an amen woman. As we stand on the beginning of the era of a new segment of our ministry, as we prepare to deeply invest ourselves in ministry, we need to affirm what God has done. We need to affirm our continued commitment to do it with God's will and God's way. We need to affirm that the promises of God are true, that we not only believe with our head, but that we believe with our heart, and more so that we are going to do what God has called us to do, that we have trusted him and he has provided. So this morning, I ask that you would stand, and I'm going to ask you to affirm some things. I'm going to ask that you would say yes to some things, that you might get rooted and grounded in your heart, that you are going to be committed to some things as a member of this household of faith. I'm going to ask that you affirm your commitment to believing in God, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you might think according to the power that works in us. Let all God's people say, I'm going to ask that you affirm your commitment to believing that God can and will supply all of our needs according to his power and glory. Let all God's people say,
amen.
I'm going to affirm that you will give your continued support financially to this branch of Zion. Let all God's people say, I'm going to ask that you would affirm that you're going to give your continued support to this ministry. Let all God's people say amen. I'm going to ask that you will affirm that you're going to give this pastor an opportunity to let God use him mightily within this body of Christ. Let all God's people say I'm going to ask that you would affirm that he is the answer to our prayer, that God has sent him to lead us in and to lead us out and to lead us to greener pastures. Let all God's people say,
amen.
I'm going to ask that you would affirm the goodness of God with words such as truly and surely and let it be and true that and hurrah and bravo. Let all God's people say, I'm going to ask that you would affirm that Jesus is indeed Redeemer and Savior and Lord, and he is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of all of God's creation, and that in him every promise is true. Let all God's people say,
amen.
I'm going to ask that you will affirm that he will continue to accomplish his purpose in us. Let all God's people say, let all God's people say,
amen.
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 Amen. God, we say today to your will and to your way, amen.